Operation Elop. The final years of Nokia Euro trademark's mobile phones. The little green spy boat seen from the old Nokia house in the Kalalahti Bay, Espoo, Finland. Photo by Yari Ajas on December 8, 2010, with a Nokia C7. On October 8, 2017, Joe Belfiore of Microsoft casually announced the death of Windows Phone. In a series of tweets, he explained that Microsoft will continue to support the Windows Phone and Windows 10 mobile platform, but a Euro building new features / HW Arena Euro trademark T. The focus a Euro. That was the end of Microsoft a Euro trademark's smartphone endeavor. Fast rewind to 2010. On September 10, 2010, Nokia of Finland replaced its chief executive, Olli-Pekka Kallasvuo, who had been at Nokia for 30 years, with Stephen Elop, a 46-year-old native of Ancaster, Ontario, and the head of Microsoft a Euro trademark's business software unit, in a bid to turn around the company a Euro trademark's struggling smartphone lineup and stop a decline in its market share in the U.S. On February 11, 2011, Nokia and Microsoft announced plans for a broad strategic partnership to build a new global mobile ecosystem with Windows Phone. One under the proposed partnership, Nokia would adopt Windows Phone as its principal smartphone strategy, and contribute its expertise on hardware design, language support, and help bring Windows Phone to a larger range of price points, market segments, and geographies. On September 2, 2013, Microsoft announced that it would buy Nokia Euro trademark's devices and services business and license its patents for $7.2 billion. Also as part of the deal, Nokia Euro trademark's CEO Stephen Elop was announced to eventually go back to Microsoft and lead an expanded devices team. In November 2014, Microsoft announced the first Microsoft non-Nokia branded Lumia smartphone, the Lumia 535. However, Lumia device sales decreased sharply after the introduction of Windows 10 in 2015. On June 17, 2015, the Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella announced that a Euro now is the right time for him, Stephen Elop, to retire from Microsoft a Euro. On October 7, 2014, two Finnish journalists Marina Salminen and Pekka Nikkanen published their book Operatio Elop in Finnish, probing into the events that took place in Nokia Euro trademark's device business under the CEO Stephen Elop a Euro trademark's period in 2010 a Euro 2013. The authors had interviewed over 100 people for the book, most of them being current or former Nokia employees. The book came out in Finnish, and although there was interest in an English version, the author's a Euro trademark publishing agent was never able to build a viable business case for the English version of the book. Some former Nokians suggested crowdsourcing the English translation for the book in 2015, but the publishing agent a Euro trademark's contractual agreement was holding back any publication of an English version until 2017. Some chapters were translated by volunteers in 2015, and the remaining chapters have now been translated into English. The full English translation is now published here the first time, under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharia-like 4.0 International, CC by NCSA 4.0, license. We, the English translation team, would like to express our warmest thanks towards journalists and authors Marina Salminen and Pekka Nikkanen for their kind support and information dissemination spirit. Please support Marina and Pekka by buying the original book. And when you read the Finnish book or our English translation, please do remember that the story hails from the year 2014, and our mission was to translate the original Finnish manuscript in English, not to rewrite it to reflect the context of year 2018. nor to reflect our personal opinions. So, when the book says a euro a current lie a euro, please read it as a euro or in October 2014 a euro. We have streamlined the text a bit when Americanizing it, and to assist the global reader, we decided to show the euro figures mentioned in the book also in US dollars, using the exchange rate applicable at the time of the reference. When we were working on the English translation, a small piece of news about Stephen Elop and Finland caught our eye, even mentioning the original book. The Finnish daily Iltalehti wrote that Elop had been seen in the Nokia headquarters on the Espoo Karaportti campus on November 13, 2017. The article was speculating that the visit might have been linked to Elop a Euro trademark's current job with the network provider Telstra in Australia, where he started in April 2016, and further mentioned that in the book Operatio Elop he had been described as a Euro Ion of the worst, if not the worst CEO in the world a Euro. This book translation is not endorsed by or associated with the publishing house Teos Nokia Corporation, or with any other company or organization. All product and company names and advertising slogans are trademarks assent or registered a registered trademark trademarks of their respective holders. Use of them does not imply any affiliation with or endorsement by them. For readers who prefer reading a PDF version instead of this online version, we provide a PDF export from Medium. Please consider the environment before printing the 300 pages. In the spirit of connecting people, N.A. Zokin, Lisa Holma, Serpa Akonin, Timothy Jasanowski, Harry Kielgender, Jerky Kimmel, Asko Kamsai, Jason Madhosing, Emma Oivio, Jan Park Kila, Kimmo Savolainen, William Smith, Katarina Suvidaval, Petra S. A. Derlying, Malian Aturan Lotti, Kevin Wright and anonymous contributors. And now to the book. Operation Elop. The final years of Nokia a Euro trademark's mobile phones. One foreword. The rise and fall of Nokia is a unique story. In just 10 years, a small, multi-industry company transformed into one of the brightest stars in industrial history. Equally unique was its demise and collapse, from the pole position of the mobile phone market to its furthest margins. On September 3, 2013, Nokia announced its intention to sell its mobile phone business to Microsoft. That date has been branded on the hearts of the Finns, equal to the loss of Estonia 2 and the September 11 attacks. This book seeks answers to the questions left unanswered in the memoirs of the former Nokia chairman Jorma Ollila, who was Stephen Elop and why was a Canadian outsider selected as the new CEO of Nokia? What was the logic of adopting a smartphone operating system conceived outside of Nokia? Why Microsoft a Euro trademark's Windows phone and not Nokia a Euro trademark's own Migo or Google Euro trademark's Android platform, an option once described by a former Nokia executive as a Euro we like peeing in your pants in the winter for warmth, a Euro 3 why did the company lose its top talent and where did they go? Why did the renowned Nokia spirit simply vanish? As Elop assumed his position in October 2010, Nokia a Euro trademark's market position was already under threat, but some believe it was his strategic decisions that led its descent and the sale of Nokia a Euro trademark's mobile device division to Microsoft. Others believe he chose the best option from an increasingly short list of bad options, that Nokia a Euro trademark's decline was inevitable in the face of renewed competition and rooted in its slow acceptance of alternatives to Symbian and its vaunted S60 platform. Still today, some believe that Elop was Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer a Euro trademark's a Euro Einzeitmann a Euro sent from Redmond on a quest to deliver market success to Microsoft a Euro trademark's foundering mobile platform. In this vast landscape of conflicting narratives, We seek to document the hard choices that led to the end of this small country Euro trademark s unlikely domination of the mobile equipment market and assess whether there was a way to salvage a Euro or Nokia Y Euro or if its end was truly inevitable. During the process of researching this book, we have interviewed over 100 people with first-hand knowledge about why Nokia ended up as it did. Combined, their stories weave a narrative, one which touched a Euro directly or indirectly a Euro the lives of most Finns, as almost everyone in this Nordic country of 6 million knows someone who has worked at Nokia. Many of the interviewees worked at Nokia between 2010 and 2013 while the company was in turmoil, when the old laws did not apply anymore. When key people were replaced. When executive leadership went AWOL. When things which should not have happened happened. This book depicts how the top management decisions cascaded through the organization, what kind of consequences they had, and a Euro most importantly. A Euro how they were seen among the company a Euro trademark s middle management and rank and file employees. In addition, we have investigated how Nokia a Euro trademark s actions appeared outside the company. Did the new Windows strategy convince its network provider for customers? What was the outlook for Nokia in Silicon Valley? What was the perception of Nokia in the eyes of its shareholders? This book differs from earlier Nokia studies, as it concentrates on recent history and events, seeking to synthesize a narrative of these fateful years. The book is not about the history of Nokia, nor a parting shot by former employees. It is a critical look at Nokia a Euro trademark s exit from the mobile device market, created from a neutral point of view using traditional journalistic methods. Many of those interviewed wanted to remain anonymous, as some are still afraid or still revere Nokia a Euro trademark s unique position in Finland. What is strikingly evident is the affection of these former Nokians towards the company. During their days at the company, they were believed they were building the future. Afterward, they mourn over the wreckage left behind. Ultimately, many just needed to tell their side of the story. This book follows the events from the day Stephen Elop entered Nokia a Euro trademark s storied history, seeking to unveil the background of the events at all levels and amplify the perceptions of all people involved in this story. To that end, the point of view will shift from chapter to chapter, as the events are observed through the eyes of engineers, middle management, top leaders, and the Nokia board of directors, but together seeking to answer one simple question: could the demise of Nokia have been prevented if there had been a different CEO? We hope this book will provide a unique insight into what exactly happened at Nokia from 2010 to 2013 and, for some Finns, assist them in the necessary grieving process for Finland's Euro trademark s greatest national champions. Nokia mobile phones are now history and unlikely to come back, its customers will move on to something else. However, the end of Finland's Euro trademark s domination of the mobile equipment market has its own silver lining. Hundreds of startups have been founded by ex-Nokians, creating and dominating new markets. The future of the renewed Nokia, one with a renewed concentration on networks and location-based services, looks bright. In the end, one can learn and benefit from the good and bad choices, but what is truly important is to progress. To Hope Awakens. News editor Mirjamai Saarinen confesses she has only vague recollections of the end of a certain workday in 2010. The morning, however, she remembers crystal clear. It was September 10, 2010. The majority of the staff of Kauppalehti, a major Finnish business paper, was attending a morning seminar downtown Helsinki. Staff not attending. The seminar was producing the morning online news and planning the next Dia Euro trademark s paper. When a press release appeared on editor Niko Ranta Euro trademark s display, The title was so startling that Ranta started to read the release aloud. The atmosphere at the news desk became electric. That was the moment which divided Mirjamai Sarinina Euro Trademark S recollections of that day. She can still remember how the staff was returning hurriedly back from the seminar, where the news broke amidst the breakfast. After that point, she can hardly remember anything clearly. As it was a Friday, Copalady, as a five-day paper, had a dilemma. The rest of the Finnish media would consume the news completely during the weekend, but Copalady still had to be able to produce pertinent news for the Monday paper. Based on her experience, Saarinen knew what she had to do. First, she collected all available editors to work on the news. At the same time, she worked on fast news flashes for the online front page. After that, the team started to think angles, which would be still topical on Monday. Would the news still be front page material on Monday, or would it end up on page 3? How many pages to allocate and so on. At the same time, it had to be decided who would attend the coming press conference. According to Saarinen, the rest of the day was like controlling a huge traffic jam. The start of the press release a Euro, i.e. sacking of the Nokia a Euro trademark s then CEO Olli-Pekka Kallasvuo. Known universally within Nokia as a Euro or Iapka Euro, a Euro was not unexpected. That had been speculated all fall by the Finnish media, which traditionally was nearly toothless. Regarding Nokia, lately, it had become more critical and demanded Kallasvuo a Euro trademark s head on the plate. Until this day, any public criticism regarding Kallasvuo a Euro trademark s position would have been taboo. Nokia was revered a Euro, even feared a Euro among the Finnish press, and all critique was typically much muffled and well veiled. What came next in the press release was indeed startling. Everybody familiar with the company had been betting on Anssi Vanjoki a Euro, a very strong and controversial Nokia power figure a Euro, to succeed OPK. Instead, the press release introduced a practically unknown Canadian as the company a Euro trademark s new CEO. Who on earth was Stephen Elop? A man nobody had heard of. Was he really the best of available bad options? And what a strange name. Saarinen had quickly half a dozen editors working on the news, and more info started to flow in. A software guy, coming from Microsoft, had been in charge of Microsoft a Euro trademark s biggest division, more renowned globally than in Finland. A photographer, two editors, and news editor-in-chief Arno Ahosniemi headed for the press conference starting at 1 p.m. The auditorium of the Nokia headquarters in Kalaniemi Espoo was filled by members of all relevant established Finnish media as well as international media having presence in Finland, including Reuters and Bloomberg. This was news also at the global level. The stars of the show kept waiting for themselves for a moment, then it all started. Two figures well known by the Finnish media entered the room, Jorma Ollila and Arja Suominen, EVP of Nokia Group Communications. They were accompanied by a smallish, rather sympathetic-looking man. He had an unaffected, even modest look. His tie, combining wine red and red, appeared almost Soviet Union-like. Moreover, his gray suit and white-gray shirt oozed of caution. He had an army-style haircut and his dull-looking glasses seemed to fit poorly behind the ears. That man was not the next Steve Jobs, was the quick, collective verdict of the room. Jorma Ollila quickly took the reins. He introduced Elop and emphasized that the whole of the Nokia board had been actively participating in the selection of the new CEO. The board had wanted to find the best possible person to accelerate Nokia a Euro trademark s renewal. According to Ollila, Elop had a great combination of software background and proven leadership skills to match the challenge. In addition, Alila A. Euro, the guy who lifted Nokia to the top, A. Euro emphasized Alopa Euro trademark S sensitivity to the cultural differences. Understanding the Nokia A. Euro trademark S tradition and the essence of A. Euro Finnishness A. Euro would be the key factors contributing to Alopa Euro trademark S success. Ilop was someone who could understand the very core and the possibilities of Nokia, Alila estimated. Then it was Alopa Euro trademark S turn. He shook hands with Alila and swung behind the small round table filled with microphones. It took but a few seconds to realize the man was a master. With the words, smooth appearance and a reliable presence were like a magic wand, erasing any doubts of the media with a single wave. This man could talk a Euro really talk. His English sounded good, unlike his predecessor Ali-Pekka Kallisvuo a Euro trademark S. A glimmer of hope arose among the audience. Maybe it would all end up well after all. Ilop started by thanking Alila and the Nokia board eloquently about his nomination, which was a great honor. Then he continued and outlined his vision about the big changes shaking the mobile industry. Trendy buzzwords and phrases like cloud computing, social media, tablets, apps, and so on popped up during the speech naturally. According to Ilop, Nokia Euro trademark S problems were big opportunities. Nokia had tremendous strengths, especially its super capable people. A Euro we Euro slid into the speech subtly, and Ilop assured he would listen to the employees and the customers very carefully. He maintained he was one of the A Euro Inakinsa Euro A Euro almost a Finn, if you please see a Euro, and said he would cheer for two countries in the upcoming Olympics. After the well-prepared speech was over, Alila moved next to Ilop for the Q&A. Ilop sipped water from the glass and was ready. The very first question was addressed to the board chairman Alila. He was asked when he would retire from his position. Instead of a vague comment, Alila said a Euro isun a Euro. The second question was also pointed to Alila. A Swedish reporter asked for a summary of Kallisvuo a Euro trademark S mistakes, but Alila replied that this was not the time for a retrospective but time to look forward, then added there had been shortcomings in the implementation of the company strategy. Now, it was the time to proceed to the next phase with a new CEO. When the third question was also addressed to Alila, the situation became a bit comical. Ilop, however, reacted quickly and replied instead of Alila. A Euro or what would be the next steps for Nokia? A Euro Ilop replied it was too soon to comment on that, but he firmly believed the answer would be found within Nokia A Euro, and his task was to make sure that would take place. In a similar way, Ilop elusively replied to the question whether the mobile device operating system should be changed. However, he stated the operating system would be critical factor in the strategy. Without a prepared speech, Ilop was, if possible, even more credible. His hands moved naturally and stressed key messages exactly at the right moment. The movement was almost magical. Perhaps this could turn into something. Perhaps the American shareholders would finally be happy. Perhaps this man could rescue Nokia. Ilopa Euro trademark S undisguised ambition would be mana to Nokia. After 1 hour, the conference was over and the media started to return to their offices. At Kauppalehti, the task list until Monday had become clear. The press conference would be covered by Ilkka Sinervaa. Marina Loxinen would analyze Ilopa Euro trademark S quotes regarding Nokia Euro trademark S challenges. Antti Mistonen would make the feature story about Ilop. Editor-in-Chief, Hannu Leinonen would analyze, in his weekly column, what would happen to Nokia Euro trademark S special heritage as a Finnish company, which up until then had been steered almost solely by Jorma Alila. Looking back to that unusual day, it is obvious that at least Kauppalehti editorial staff was quick to point out Alopa Euro trademark s strong and possibly ominous ties to Microsoft. There were instant comments like a Euro a Microsoft to buy Nokia, a Euro, and many saw Alopa Euro trademark s nomination as the first step towards a merger. For some the vision was frightening, but not for all. One of the latter was an anonymous member of Nokia top management, who had dealt with Alop a lot. He 5 recalls being ecstatic about Alopa Euro trademark s arrival and opened a good a Euro a really good a Euro bottle of red wine that day. We do not know how Jorma Alila felt after that long day. We do know that the day was the first step in Alila Euro trademark s plan to rescue Nokia, started a few months earlier. Nokia now had a new leader. A kind of leader the market and foreign shareholders had been expecting. The project a Euro called Operation Alopa Euro had started 6-3 Mr. Van Jokey, last-minute runner-up. The starting point for the replacement of Nokia a Euro trademark s chief executive was at a crayfish dinner party for the board members in August 2009. In his memoirs, Against All Odds, Jorma Alila writes that one of the board members approached him asking if the company management was all right. Something that Alila himself had been wondering, and so it was that the cat was let out of the bag. For a long time the board had remained loyal to Olli-Pekka Kallasvuo, a long-term fellow worker of Alila and a well-liked colleague. Generally referred to as OPK. The general consensus was that the problems would be resolved without assistance, but now things were going downhill rapidly. After the dinner party things started to evolve. The decision to replace the Nokia chief executive officer was of such magnitude that it would only be made with Alila Euro trademark s consent. Towards the end of 2009, Alila, too, was ready to go ahead with this. In November a Euro. December the board had a yearly evaluation round regarding its own performance as well as the role of the chairman of the board. Vice Chairman Marjorie Scardino was heading these discussions, and they were mainly focused on the operative management. In his memoirs Alila mentions that practically every board member had posed the question of whether the chief executive was up to his task. These discussions were the actual initiation of the replacement process. In January 2010, the board had a lengthy discussion regarding the performance of the organization, and Alila was given the mandate to talk with the group executive board members about the state of the corporate management. This he did, with Kallasvuo a Euro trademark s consent. There were about a dozen of these talks, and, according to Alila, the opinions about Kallasvuo were evenly split between those unquestionably supporting OPK and those having serious doubts. Alila writes, a Euro Olli-Pekka is an agreeable person who does not stir up strong antipathy. The doubts, however, were clear and strong. The discussions with the executive board were not the main factor leading to the replacement of the chief executive, but did indeed provide additional data in support of the decision-making a Euro. The concerns within the board were said to have grown gradually. With each passing day, the board believed less that the methods used would lead to success. There were product delays. There were decisions made based on a lack of options and in haste. Also the way Kallasvuo and Alila were working together caused discontent within the board as the two of them sometimes tended to agree things just between themselves. Apparently one example of this was the decision to hire the former Prime Minister of Finland Esko Aho as the Executive Vice President for Corporate Relations and Responsibility. In 2007 Nokia reported a record-breaking financial result. After that, the board was able to blame the global financial crisis that began in 2008 for some of Nokia Euro trademark s problems. The awakening did not take place until 2009, beginning to be noticeable also in the language of the board. During summer 2010, the board visited Silicon Valley, California. The doubting of Kalasvuo Euro trademark S ability to run the company had turned into a predominant state of mind. In his memoirs, Alila mentions one board member being against dismissing Kalasvuo. This is contradicted by another source familiar with the case claiming it was only Alila himself standing in the way of changes. Granted, he is a living legend, but also a challenging character. Many thought he should have stepped down once things started to go downhill in order to enable proper inspection and evaluation of the current situation, leaving room for questioning the existing structures. There were rising concerns among the shareholders, too. A euro or what should we have been satisfied with? A euro asks a representative of a shareholder referring to the operations by the board chaired by Alila during the last years of 20th century. The deputy CEO of Ilmarinen Mutual Pension Insurance, Timo Ritakallio, considers it surprising that Alila did not leave the company after his time as the Nokia CEO. He points out that Alila Euro trademark's mere presence, although unintentionally, was tying the hands of his successor. A Euro with Alila having led Nokia Euro trademark's rise as well as being a very strong-willed chairman of the board, it is obvious that Kalasvuo was not entirely free to operate as he may have wanted to, a Euro, says Ritakallio. A representative of a big Finnish shareholder holds the board equally responsible for Nokia Euro trademark's problems. The board left issues unattended, one of which was the situation of Nokia Siemens Networks. NSN spent years in a difficult impasse due to a delay in the integration of Siemens and Nokia. The need for change was significant, but Alila was not stepping into the role of primus motor in order to change the operation mode. The deadlock was apparently frustrating Scardino the most. She was considering leaving Nokia already in 2009. Many of those interviewed for this book consider it odd that the board appointed Alila to be the main headhunter for the new Nokia CEO, since he, after all, had been the one to choose Kalasvuo, who now had failed at his task. Other members of the appointment committee were Scardino and a Swedish consultant, Per Carlson, a long-term trustee of Alila. Dame Marjorie Scardino, born 1947, is the first female executive to have made it to the FTSE Top 100 list of largest British listed companies. She was appointed CEO of the Swedish publishing company Pearson. She joined Nokia Board of Directors in 2001 and was appointed Vice Chairman of the Board in 2007. Scardino is known as the Iron Lady of the Anglo-American publishing industry. She has also worked as a publisher of the Georgia Gazette as well as the Economist Group CEO. By the time she joined Nokia, she had had a prominent career in the traditional publishing industry but had no experience in internet-based industries nor had any in-depth knowledge of mobile business. According to two major Nokia stakeholders, Scardino Euro trademark's input as a board member was weak. Carlson, born 1955, has a background similar to Scardino. Alila had requested him to join Nokia Board of Directors in 2002. He was a high-level company consultant with a notable career. He was working at Boston Consulting Group until he joined Ikano Holdings, a financing company set up by the sons of IKEA Euro trademark's founder, Ingvar Kamprad. Carlson and Alila share a common interest in finance. Out of the three members of the appointment committee, only Alila had experience in the technology industry, but even he, according to many, was not in touch with the service-driven internet age mode of operation. Spencer Stewart, the London-based headhunting company specializing in the information and communication technology field, drew up a list of Nokia CEO candidates in June 2010. Alila and the team selected a short list of names, three from North America and two from Finland. Among the American candidates was the Canadian Stephen Elop. They Finnish candidates were Anssi Vanjoki, head of Nokia Mobile Solutions, and Niklas Savander, head of Services and Devices. Vanjoki, born 1956, joined Nokia in 1991. He was a member of Alila Euro Trademark's core team, the so-called Dream Team that led Nokia to its success. Other members of the team were Kalasvuo, Matti Lahuta, Pekka Alapidila, and Sari Baldoff. Before Nokia, Vanjoki had worked at the 3M conglomerate. At Nokia, Vanjoki had been heading Nokia Mobile Phones, Multimedia Division as well as Markets Division. During summer 2010, he was carrying out a task the board had assigned him, examining the research and development operations. At the same time, he was in the process of generating a new strategy for Nokia. Again assigned to him by the board, with Kalasvuo Euro Trademark's consent. Savander had been with Nokia since 1997, but his choice as the next Nokia CEO seemed unlikely from the start, despite his appropriate background in sales, marketing and services. He was deemed somewhat reserved as a leader both within and outside the Nokia organization. Having completed the candidate shortlist, the appointment team started to travel. The board was appreciative of Alila Euro Trademark's efforts. A Euro, he did a huge job traveling and carrying the main responsibility. A Euro, Alila flew on a private plane from Helsinki to San Francisco to interview the foreign candidates. He had set up the schedule in such a way that he could meet 5 candidates in 3 days. 3 of the interviews were in East Palo Alto Hotel in Silicon Valley. A Euro, the first at breakfast, the second over lunch, and the third in a meeting room. He then continued to Microsoft in Redmond to meet with Ilop over breakfast in the privacy of his suite. In the afternoon, Alila flew east to Southampton to meet with the 5th candidate over dinner. It was no easy task to carry out. In Finland he was a king, but in Silicon Valley he was the chairman of the board of an outdated technology company. To fully appreciate Alila Euro Trademark's difficulties in carrying out the task, one has to be aware of the perception of Nokia in California. An American analyst believes that the board overestimated its chances to attract a top American corporate executive for the next Nokia CEO. California is at the core of America Euro Trademark's own cell phone service technology CDMA. Code Division Multiple Access. A Euro, everyone there is in the system on chip manufacturer. Qualcomm A Euro Trademark's camp. All Google and Apple executives are close to Qualcomm and live in the CDMA world. These people have always seen Nokia as a dinosaur representing the European GSM, global system for mobile communication, the past. From California, the view is somewhat different to the one from Espoo A Euro. In his memoirs, Alila mentions being unsure, as he was returning home, whether the new CEO would be found amongst those interviewed. Fairly quickly, the US list of candidates was reduced down to 2 names. The number one candidate was the number 2 man in a well-known technology company. According to Alila, he was an executive in his 50s and who had been with the company for a number of years, having risen to his position through various roles in the company. Alila says to have met with this candidate twice. He sees this candidate as the right choice. A Euro, he was well acquainted with the technology companies in the world, and both his leadership style as well as his values were suitable, but after long consideration, the candidate withdrew from the process for personal reasons, not Nokia, claims Alila. Various number one candidates have been speculated on, both in the media as well as in the interviews for this book. One is Apple Euro Trademark's current CEO Tim Cook, who in 2010 was Apple Euro Trademark's number 2 man. Based on our interviews, Cook very likely was part of the process and a candidate for this job. he fits all la Euro trademark s description quite well. Cook joined Apple in 1998 and was 49 at the time of all la Euro trademark s travels, which could be interpreted as a Euro in his 50s Euro. The fact that he was also a member of Nike board of directors only added to his suitability. The other name proposed as all la Euro trademark s number one candidate in the interviews was Suna Euro trademark s Jonathan Schwartz. He does sound like a good candidate, but doesn't a Euro trademark t quite fit all la Euro trademark s description. He was only 44 years old at the time and had already resigned as Suna Euro trademark s CEO in February 2010, which doesn't a Euro trademark t fit all la Euro trademark s description of a number two man, despite the fact that Oracle had purchased Sun around that time. An American reporter, David J. Cord, living in Finland, wrote in his book The Decline and Fall of Nokia that all la Euro trademark s number one candidate would actually have been former Sun CEO Scott McNeely. The media was widely spreading this idea only to discover that McNeely had already a few weeks earlier denied this in a tweet that leaves no doubts. Alala had never asked him to run Nokia. The wildest guess was Yahoo Euro trademark s then CEO Marissa Mayer, a former Google executive with Finnish origins. Mayer had a small child, so her family situation would have prevented her move to Finland. But she surely does not fit the description of a Euro EA man in his 50s Euro. We believe all la Euro trademark s description of the number one candidate is true. What possible reasons would he have had to share false information? He could have just as well left that part out altogether. In order to understand the selection process, it is important to know who were the ones making the decision. In 2010, the Nokia board of directors consisted of six other members in addition to Chairman Alala, Vice Chairman Scardino, and Carlson. Lalita Gupt, born 1948, was the chairman of the board of ICICI, an Indian financing company. She had solid experience in both operational and official posts in finance. Bengt Holmstra M., born 1949, was professor of economics in MIT. For a Finnish researcher, he was an exceptional academic superstar. Henning Kagerman, born 1947, was the former chief executive of the German software company SAP. He was a top name in European technology industry in his time. Keijo Sola, born 1945, was the former chief executive of Finnair. He was one of the most valued corporate executives, one who in the past had also worked in several senior positions in Huhtamäki and in Lyra. Isabelle Mary Semper, born 1967, was an executive in the French cosmetics company La Euro trademark Oreal. She was experienced in matters of high-level strategy, corporate planning as well as intellectual property rights in European companies. Risto C.I. Lasma, born 1966, was the founder and chairman of the board of F-Secure, a Finnish information security company. C.I. Lasma was one of the highly respected corporate executives within the technology industry in Finland. The lack of technological competencies stood out in this crowd. Only C.I. Lasma was representing the current information and communication technology. The other expert in the field, SAP Euro trademark S. Kagerman, represented the older generation. The honorable German gentleman is not likely to have spent his time in the prevailing techno scenes. Holmstra M. was moving in respected technology circles in the US, but as a researcher, Alala had valued finance and consumer business experience in IT over technology when forming the board. Carlson and Gupt had finance backgrounds. Sola, Scardino, and Mary Semper were experienced in consumer business. Having Scardino and Mary Semper as board members for a high-end technology corporate like Nokia struck many of those interviewed for this book is rather odd because their mobile competence was scarce. It is also worth noticing that there is hardly any public data on Mary Semper. One could ask, why weren't a Euro trademark T there any other type of competencies present in the Nokia board? A technology startup entrepreneur? Venture capitalist? Someone with up-to-date connections to network providers, subcontractors, and, above all, mobile device consumers? Horace Didiu, an analyst who is well acquainted with both Nokia and Microsoft, points out that with Nokia competitors, the boards mainly had advisory roles. For example, the biggest shareholders, Sergey Brin, Larry Page, and Eric Schmidt, had the strongest voice in Google. According to Didiu, the American technology companies are not willing to render power to financiers or other outsiders, because that would weaken the disruptive thinking that defies and questions existing structures. The most distinct example of disruptive thinking and the role it plays is the legendary founder and Apple CEO Steve Jobs. Didiu believes the Nokia board was professionally managed, but instead of focusing on vision, it focused on optimizing. Lita Euro trademark S. Take a look at the Apple Board of Directors in 2010 for comparison. It was chaired by Arthur D. Levinson, Chairman of Genentech Board of Directors. Pharmaceutical and technology businesses have similarities, such as R&D at the core of operation, innovation, as well as protection of intellectual property rights are both of utmost importance. 1. Member of the board was Bill Campbell, chairman of the board of software company Inuit, with a long-standing career in the software business. The technology industry was represented also by Ronald D. Sugar, chairman of the board of Northrop Grumman, an aviation and aerospace technology company. Al Gore, the former vice president of the United States, was there to manage high-level public relations. At Nokia, the former Prime Minister of Finland, Esko Aho, had the equivalent role as a member of the Nokia Group Executive Board. The consumer point of view in the Apple board was represented by Millard Drexler, the chairman of the board of the clothing company J.Crew. The Google Board of Directors in 2010 had six other members in addition to Page, Brin, and Schmidt. L. John Doerr, a venture capitalist specializing in technology industry and a former executive of the Amazon online store, John L. Hennessy, a professor of computer science at Stanford University and the founder of Atheros, a semiconductor company. Ann Mather, a board specialist focusing on gaming and internet business and a former executive at Pixar Animation Studios. Paul S. Sotolini, a former CEO of the semiconductor company Intel. K. Ram Shriram, SharePalo Ventures CEO and a professor of biochemistry at Princeton University. Shirley M. Tilghman. Two of Nokia Euro trademark S worst competitors, Apple and Google, obviously had boards more competent in global technology and internet know-how than Nokia. To aggravate the situation, the Nokia board of directors was manned more with fine titles than substance. Scardino was the only American on the board despite the fact that the highest level of software competence was found in the U.S. Would Google and Apple boards have chosen Ilop as the chief executive officer? Hardly. To them, Ilop represented the bygone world. He had no knowledge of consumer business and came from Microsoft, a dinosaur that had failed to progress from the PC to the mobile environment. The board members were aware of the great responsibility on their shoulders. What they most wanted was to get rid of the deep feeling of frustration. Moreover, all development work had come to a halt because of the ongoing replacement of the CEO. Therefore, the recruitment was swiftly processed. When Alila Euro trademark S number one candidate declined, the only ones left were Ilop and Vanjoki. According to the magazine Bloomberg Business Week, Ilopa Euro trademark S experience and his CV had impressed all Ila. Ilop had been leading Microsoft a Euro trademark S office business worth $19 billion, one of the world a Euro trademark S biggest and most profitable business enterprises. Ilop also had a reputation of not being afraid to take the bull by the horns and of being able to solve internal conflicts. As a matter of fact, Ilop had already made an impression on Nokia leaders in 2009 when Nokia and Microsoft were in negotiations over provisioning of Microsoft Office applications in Nokia smartphones. The negotiations had proven difficult. Nokia was at its peak, and Microsoft was known for their inflexibility. Problems arose right at the very beginning, says one of the Nokia leaders. At 9 a.m., an army of Microsoft lawyers marched into the meeting venue Nokia had chosen. A porter at the reception requested them to sign a traditional piece of paper to enable him/her to present them with visitor passes. Something in the wording of that piece of paper was not to the Microsoft lawyer/a Euro trademark liking. And in the end, they were allowed in without visitor passes. That day of negotiations had an unpleasant start. The negotiations carried on as they started, with difficulty. However, in April, a Nokia executive Kai-A Istema and his team had met with the Microsoft negotiating team who were now led by Ilop. He had made a good impression on Nokia managers with his frankness and eagerness to solve things, and he wasn't a Euro trademark T being political about anything. He had given an impression of himself as being a strong leader and a master of words. His Finnish counterparts perceived Ilopa Euro trademark S demeanor as familiar and pleasant. On the eve of May Day, much to the surprise of both parties, there was a breakthrough in the negotiations and the agreement was signed later on in the summer. The news of Ilopa Euro trademark S performance in these negotiations must have reached the ears of those who were now in the process of electing him as the new Nokia CEO. Van Jokke had many supporters both within and outside the Nokia organization. He knew Nokia and its reference groups like the back of his hand. In August 2010, it looked like the scales were about to tip in his favor. The board had not yet made the final decision, but the outcome seemed almost certain. The new CEO would be Finnish. The strategy work assigned to Van Jokke would not go to waste. A new era was on the horizon for both Van Jokke and Nokia. By September 10, 2010, the tables had turned. Ilop had after all been appointed as the new Nokia CEO. What happened during these few weeks? The main driver in the events was Scardino. She was the spokeswoman on the board for the foreign shareholders, in particular for the American pension fund investors. As a member of the appointment committee, she was the natural point of contact for the American pension funds that were dissatisfied with the progress Nokia was making. For the foreign shareholders, Van Jokke was not a sufficient guarantee for renewal to take place. A bigger shake-up was needed, and the shaker needed to come from outside the Nokia organization. Scardino told her colleagues that only after talking to Ilop did she realize the gaps Nokia had in understanding the new era. Scardino was the one to tip the scales in Ilopa Euro trademark S favor at the last minute. The appointment committee presented Ilop as their preferred candidate. The Nokia board of directors were between a rock and a hard place, says an analyst who has studied Nokia for a number of years. They were forced to prove to the American investors that Nokia was no longer just a Finnish company. Although Nokia shareholders were spread across the globe, from the American point of view, too many of Nokia employees were still based in Finland. The investors could only be assured by a big move. Either transfer Nokia headquarters to United States, or appoint a non-Finn, preferably a North American, as the new CEO. By choosing Ilop, the board could keep the headquarters in Finland. Another analyst, who is very familiar with Nokia, believes that also Alopa Euro trademark s excellent command of words as well as his seemingly impressive background with Microsoft worked in his favor in addition to him being a North American. Those appointing him were hoping to get a charismatic frontman like Steve Jobs. Alopa Euro trademark s connection to the Windows operating system was not likely to have weighed in the negotiations. Had this been a factor in the recruitment process, the Nokia operating system strategy would not have been so drastically changed as it eventually was, says the analyst. But he/she does think it is possible that the American shareholders pressured the board to choose someone from a software company like Microsoft. According to him/her, no one in United States considered Alop for the job because his CV was not suitable. He had no in-depth mobile competence nor consumer business understanding. By appointing Alop, Nokia showed just how far to the margin it had drifted. There simply weren't a Euro trademark T any A-list candidates available. If there were no suitable candidates with software backgrounds available, the next best choice would have been to appoint someone with a telecommunications background either from a chipset company, a network provider or a competitor, suggests the analyst. The board was concerned about Alopa Euro trademark s commitment. Would his family join him? Finland was far away in a different kind of environment. Alopa Euro trademark s response was that this has been discussed with the family, and that it would be a good solution for everyone concerned. Alop was considered sincere about it, but what about after he has been traveling 200 days yearly for a few years? Other concerns were raised. What about him not having experience in consumer business? Some members of the board were bothered about his tendency to speak quickly. Would he be able to listen? Would he get people on board or would he be a solo artist raising himself above others? The board was aware of Alopa Euro trademark s history of job hopping. They considered it to be a normal feature of American business culture, deeming the Finnish business culture to be closer to the Japanese one. The new era of steep and fast changes required agility and new ways of thinking. The board believed Alop had these capabilities. In the end, the decision was unanimous. A person involved in the discussions says that Van Jokke was considered an enthusiastic, bubbly, and innovative personality, but that he was also considered a somewhat contradictory character, even within the organization. Van Jokke has historical baggage, unlike Alop, and the board thought it best to emphasize renewal. In retrospect, whether the choice was right or wrong, at the time of decision, there was a clear logic to it, points out a source who was following the process closely. For years there had been questions about Nokia Euro trademark s strategy for entering the US market, with nothing but uneasy glances as a reply. In August 2010, the Nokia board of directors made the final decision. As a result, Van Jokke resigned 2 days later. Alopa Euro trademark s Jobs called Van Jokke asking him to work for Apple, but Van Jokke declined. He was not going to be just another hired executive. The commentary following Alopa Euro trademark s appointment was cautiously optimistic. His merits were considered good, particularly his communication skills, experience in software business as well as the fact that he was North American. When interviewed by the largest Finnish newspaper, Helsingin Sanomat, the new CEO said he was fully aware of Nokia Euro trademark s dominant role in Finnish society. Alop went on listing characteristics he considered typically Finnish: openness, integrity, transparent communication, ethics, and respect for other people. Naturally, ice hockey as well as the salty licorice, a Euro e Salmiakia Euro, were mentioned, too. The new editor-in-chief, Mikhail Pentikainen, wrote in his article the next day that, based on his background and characteristics, Ilop had every chance in succeeding in his task. Everyone in Finland is wondering if Ilop will move Nokia out of Finland, but there is no indication of that. Ilop will move to Finland, and Alila, who will continue as chairman of the board of Nokia, will continue to maintain Nokia as the flagship of Finland. Euro trademark s economy. There is every reason for us Finns to believe that Nokia will get a strong, new beginning. With Ilop now in the lead. The better Nokia succeeds, the stronger Finland and its economy will be. Euro. The commentary of Nokia personnel in the media was moderate, nobody wanted to dismiss the new boss straight away. Enthusiasm for ice hockey as well as his software competence worked in his favor. Concerns were raised with regard to Finland Euro trademark s districts, if the Finnish ties were to weaken. Now that the CEO was a non-Finn, local newspapers were even more concerned about the various Nokia sites across Finland. For instance, the Kaleva newspaper in Oulu wondered what will happen to Nokia Euro trademark s functions in Finland with a Canadian heading the company. What would happen to the Nokia sites in Salo and Oulu, Kaleva asked. The news of the replacement of the Nokia CEO reached international media. According to the German Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung newspaper, Ilop was Nokia Euro trademark s last chance. The British Financial Times did an interview with Ilop and Alila, in which they rejected the idea that Nokia would abandon its own operating system. Alila stated that Ilop had not been hired to renew the Nokia strategy. There were more doubts expressed in the American media. In Seattle, Ilop Euro trademark s hometown. The Seattle Times pointed out that Ilop was the third high-ranking officer in Microsoft to have left the company within a year. The newspaper did an interview with Rob Enderle, an analyst, who thought Microsoft lost a great talent. According to Enderle, Ilop had high hopes for the position of CEO, but that at Microsoft, there was only a slight chance at this. Jim Cramer, a host of the Mad Money program at the financial news channel CNBC, joked, "Euro trademark T matter who Nokia hires, short of Steve Jobs, hires, it still won a Euro trademark T save the company from obscurity. There is no way to make a comeback to the mobile phone market. Nokia Euro trademark S biggest problem is that the company Euro trademark S is na Euro trademark T on the radar of the key US demographic that decides which cell phones will sell and which one Euro trademark T Euro teenagers. Our teenagers don't Euro trademark T know jack about Nokia and this guy from Microsoft ain't Euro trademark T going to change. That Euro. The Wall Street Journal believed Ilop Euro trademark S primary task would be to ensure a convincing competitor to Apple Euro trademark S iPhone, since that is where Kalasvuo had failed. According to WSJ, the software executive would need to navigate through a group of cultural and institutional underwater rocks Euro and that Ilop was known as a pragmatic and decisive leader, who could turn large entities into smaller, more manageable parts. However, the American newspaper did have doubts about whether Nokia Euro trademark S actions had been bold enough. The head of Microsoft Euro trademark S business division was not the most obvious choice to speed up Nokia Euro trademark S business integration or image renewal, nor was he used to being the underdog. New York Times thought the appointment of a Microsoft executive was telling a tale of Nokia and Microsoft working more closely together than before. The newspaper reminded of Microsoft having similar innovation issues to Nokia, and mentioned that Nokia had failed in building profitable business relations with four of America Euro trademark S biggest telecom network providers, which put together were selling over 90% of mobile devices in the U.S. The mobile nation was eagerly waiting to see if the new CEO would make an appearance. At Nokia World in London, one of the most important events for Nokia stakeholders, on September 14, a week after the announcement. The event was considered particularly exciting for investors. The audience was curious to hear Van Jokia Euro Trademark's announcement to leave Nokia. He was an executive valued by investors, customers, and reporters, who were accustomed to hearing bold statements from him. At his farewell appearance, Van Jokia presented Nokia Euro Trademark's new communicator. Seemingly cheerful, he thanked the Nokia world audience for the 20-year journey and made his exit from stage, as they applauded. In addition to the new communicator, Nokia launched four new smartphones. They executives were doing their best for Nokia Euro Trademark's credibility. Due to the replacement of the CEO, the main speaker in London was Niklas Sävander. He pointed out to the audience that Nokia was selling 260,000 new smartphones daily, which was more than Apple and Android put together. Sävander promised a sale of 50 million devices for the models presented in London. He also thanked Olli-Pekka Kallasvuo for a fine 30-year career in Nokia. Kaija Istama, Nokia Euro Trademark's chief development officer, countered concerns arising from the appointment of a Microsoft man. Since Istama knew Ilop well from before, he was sure Ilop would adapt well to Nokia. A large customer also spoke at Nokia World. Vittorio Colo, CEO of Vodafone, the British network provider, was of the opinion that the best markets for device manufacturers as well as network providers to be in were in developing countries. Colo complimented Nokia on its ability to survive the smartphone battle and said he was well pleased with the ambition Nokia was showing. The day after the event, Ilop did make an appearance after all. He met with customers, but not the media. Officially, his duties would not begin until the following week. For the lame legacy of Mr. Kallasvuo. Olli-Pekka Kallasvuo left behind him an organization in which three corporate divisions, Euro Smartphones, Feature Phones and Services Euro, competed for the resources, power and attention. The smartphone unit would have needed support from the services unit, but came only second in the pecking order after external paying customers. The product portfolio of the company was exceptionally large. This strategy had worked well while business was still blooming, even if only a small part of the company Euro Trademark's vast product range was successful. Those best sellers brought in enough money for the business to be successful. By 2010, the vast product range had become a burden. There had not been a best-selling product in several years, and the situation had started to gnaw at the sales staff, especially. The company had in its hands a huge number of products that did not sell well. The still high sales volumes were blinding. Attention was focused on the positive fact that the company was selling 400 million phones annually, even if the majority of the sales volume came from 30 euro basic phones, which had next to no impact on the bottom line. The constant delays in the phones to market schedules increased the burden. The prototypes of feature-rich lead products were developed fast, but the completion and testing for the mass market entry took too long. Management time was wasted in the meetings that focused on minor details such as a minor software adjustment. Sometimes more than 10 vice presidents were present in such meetings. The product schedules were perpetually delayed until it became evident that demand for such products would no longer exist at market entry. The situation was worst for the company Euro Trademark's biggest money maker, its smartphone operating system Symbian. With over 6 million lines of code, the software platform had become unmanageable. Hardware design and Symbian software development were almost in a state war and were at each other a Euro Trademark's neck daily. Time, money, and mental resources were wasted to tweak the outdated Symbian for each product. There were so many product lines that the product managers could not manage to keep up to date what was going on. Although considerable strategic weight was given to the software development and services, Nokia, in essence, was a pure hardware manufacturer in regard to its profitability, money-making mechanisms, and operating principles. After all, software and services accounted for less than 1% of its revenue. Up to then, the company had managed to cover its costly software in the phone pricing. But now this strategy no longer worked as competitors had started to launch phones of superior quality. During the Kallis Voo era, the confidence of investors and shareholders in Nokia Euro trademark S. management had waned from initial euphoria to next to nothing. A Nokia analyst at an American venture capital investment company remembers having a critical view on the capability of Nokia to switch over from basic phone business to smartphones. The analyst considered Nokia to be very vulnerable with its Euro institutional baggage Euro in the form of 130,000 employees together with Nokia Networks, NSN, and with the majority of the employees being located in Finland. The analyst also states that Nokia was focusing on the wrong technology platform and using billions of euros to its software development. Nokia was more vulnerable compared to its competitors. Korean Samsung, as a conglomerate, manufactured computers and other electronic devices in addition to mobile phones, and was therefore not so susceptible to suffer from a slowdown in one of its product segments. Samsung was able to sell its mobile phones for retail businesses at a lower wholesale pricing, as their transactions also included other products than just mobile phones. Apple secured their profitability with expensive Mac PCs and iPods at the time when iPhones were not yet bringing in much revenue. According to many interviewees, Nokia as an organization had drifted into a state of inertia. Ilop would soon find himself in the middle of a battlefield of middle-aged men. Instead of external competition, the competition was internal. Common interest had been replaced by the optimization of the vested interest. The famous Nokia spirit had begun to ebb away. Constant organizational changes confused the working environment. As employees had to reapply for their positions, people were somewhat arbitrarily transferred to new positions. There were employees whose projects had been terminated, but they got to keep their jobs. The matrix organization structure played a key role in the management problem. People were part of a project under different teams, but nobody had an overall responsibility of the end product. The team spirit killed any individual creative spirit. Ideological and innovative individuals were labeled as lone wolves. Yes, men with no opinions of their own would flourish. For example, the normal trial and error software development technique was no longer used in Symbian software development. A person who was in charge of software development says that the problem was in the management, which adjusted and fine-tuned projects ad nauseum. Even according to Nokia Euro trademark S internal evaluation, the projects with the least management level involvement were the ones best on schedule. When the engineers were left alone to do their work, the results came forth. Mikko Kosonen, a former senior vice president of strategy and business infrastructure in Nokia Group and current president of the Finnish Innovation Fund Citra, was 2007 a Euro 2008 executive vice president, wrote a book on strategic agility together with Professor Yves Duzon of INSEAD, a top-rated European business school. 7. In principle, strategic agility existed, but in practice it was only a dream. The lack of strategic agility and rigidity resulted in playing safe in the technology-driven business that marks the beginning of the end. When talking about the working environment atmosphere, many mentioned the word a Eurofira Euro trademark. Fear of losing Oni Euro trademark s job or position kept their mouths shut even when something should have been voiced. A sugar-coated picture was given to the management. An employee working in the strategy department resorted to check the true status of upcoming phone projects from a friend working in development, because the official status given could not be trusted. Nokia was the emperor with new clothes, but nobody dared to say it out loud. The layoffs had started in 2008, when money was becoming an issue. The organization had been streamlined many times over, but the scope of the operations remained unchanged. At every decline of the financial outlook, streamlining continued. There were divisions which had been fully reorganized 3 euro 4 times within a year. The group executive board was equally stagnated. Niklas Sauvander, Kai A. Istema and Turo Ojanpura had shuffled their roles several times, but nevertheless stayed in the company. According to an outdated Nokia principle, it was considered beneficial for the executives to hold several different positions to increase their competence. During the growth era, the principle had worked. But when the phone sales started to decline, new people and fresh ideas would have come in useful. The company had gone to the dogs, at least partially. But what would the customers think of the situation? Ilop knew that the feedback was not going to be good. The customer base was divided into two. Network providers traditionally had long-term commitments with phone manufacturers, and they continued selling Nokia phones like business as usual. For several years, European network providers had enjoyed economic growth in the wake of Nokia Euro trademark's success and were therefore more inclined to overlook the problems their trusted business partner had started to experience. The feedback from the large electronics companies and other retail businesses with shorter order cycle was more hard-edged. For example, the French retail chains Carrefour and OCA Copyrighten started to question Nokia Euro trademark's famous customer orientation. The French retail chains were wondering why Nokia force-fed its own music applications and other applications to its phones even if the customers wanted iTunes or Spotify. Nokia had not entered into strategic alliances with service providers, because it believed that it can produce such services by itself. According to a former Nokia sales director, Nokia should have integrated popular services such as Spotify into its phones and advertised to its consumers how the services worked best in Nokia phones. Instead of doing this, a lot of money was spent to fight against such services. As a device manufacturer, Nokia was not as agile in the service segment as the service providers. Network providers were also slowly awakening to reality. They were worried about the inflexibility of Symbian, which meant that it was not a popular platform among application developers. That could not be overlooked as a Bali Euro trademark's iPhones and phones based on Google Euro trademark's Android were now used as a new baseline for phones. Network providers compared the data usage of smartphone users. Users of Samsung Galaxy running on Google Android used 10 times more data compared to the highest data users with Nokia phones. So the users of Galaxy, which offered a seamless user experience, stayed in the network using data applications for much longer periods of time. And the network providers started to be more insistent in demanding to know what Nokia was going to do to increase the data usage in their phones. After the initial hiccups, the popularity of e-phones a Euro trademark skyrocketed 2009. When Ilop was looking at his Nokia playing field in the end of 2010, iPhone had already become Nokia Euro trademark's biggest competitor. It caught Nokia off guard and happened unnoticed while Nokia had closely watched its traditional competitors, the phone manufacturers. Nokia had lost a big chunk of its smartphone market share. According to Strategy Analytics, Nokia Euro trademark S market share had shrunk to 34.4% by the summer of 2010, whereas in the beginning of that year its market share had still been at about 38%. Nokia had put a record number of 26.5 million smartphones on the market, a whopping 61% more than 1 year before, but it still was not enough to retain its market share in the skyrocketing smartphone market. 77 million smartphones were sold worldwide during the summer 2010. That was a record 78% more than year before. Apple had started with low production volumes, but was increasing its volume quarter by quarter. In 2009, the production volume of Nokia was triple the volume of Apple, but in 2010 only double. It was exceptionally peculiar since Apple had only one smartphone in the market while Nokia had tens. During the summer of 2010, Apple reached the second market position with its 18.5% market share for the first time. Third market position was held by RIM, whose BlackBerry phone had 16% market share. Nokia Euro trademark S strongest market area was Europe, where Nokia dominated the smartphone markets. Nokia Euro trademark S strength in Asia and Latin America was its ability to launch durable and affordable feature phones. In these market areas, the Nokia brand was strong and Nokia Euro trademark S distribution network seamless. In those markets, the status quo would be good enough. However, in the United States, Nokia as a phone brand was practically non-existent. ILOP realized that starting with a clean slate was the only option in the US. There was also a lot of baggage, as Nokia had alienated the American network providers with its arrogance. American network providers were not dependent on Nokia to the same extent as their European counterparts, who had huge numbers of Symbian smartphone users as their customers. In an interview with Helsingin Sanomat in October 2012, Jorma Alila admitted that Nokia Euro trademark S strategy in Silicon Valley had proved to be a complete flop. A Euro S mobile phones unit had 1,000 employees in Silicon Valley, and their main task was to follow the latest trends in the software development. Google and Apple did a better job at it. It was Nokia Euro trademark S biggest failure. A Euro expenses were watched over carefully after Kalasvuo Euro trademark S reign. The financing and purchasing departments had much leverage, as it was the rigorous cost control policy that was behind Nokia Euro trademark S initial success. During the low yielding years, expenses were controlled even more rigorously. R&D costs had been cut heavy-handedly. The dominating role of financing department had been established during the Alila era and was further reinforced during Kalasvuo leadership. This ideology of extreme efficacy was causing difficulties. According to the platform-based R&D, devices and software utilized as many of the same mechanical and software components as possible. Ideally, hundreds of different smartphones were produced using only 2 to 3 different platforms. Software was also built based on software platforms, and different features were added on top of the base platforms. This operating principle was both efficient and cost-effective. According to a manager working in the middle management of the Symbian and MeeGo platforms, what was gained in cost efficiency was lost in inflexibility. The overall budget was not to be exceeded, even if using a slightly more expensive component would have been advantageous for a better end result. According to a manager, too much attention was paid to small segment earnings instead of looking at the big picture. Costs were controlled by projects and units, and some projects were terminated even if it had made sense to keep them up and running to be further developed in other units. Plenty of babies were thrown out with the bathwater. Cost control was further intensified when the company started using more consultants. A manager formulated it like this: a EuroEAS-based consultant looking into saving a mere dime, was more occupied in optimizing his own business rather than that of Nokia Euro. In all this gloom and doom mentality, the new CEO was about to find some positive surprises in Nokia. The challenger attitude was still alive and well within the company. It had been dormant and buried deep, but was brought back to life by the crisis. The Finnish work ethic can be characterized by the solicitous and pedantic work attitude. 1. Manager in the company A Euro Trademark S top management described it as a Euro-manic fear of failure. A Euro, every little detail was checked and rechecked over and over, and even after doing so there was still the shadow of doubt if everything possible had been done. According to this manager, this attitude was prevalent, irrelevant of the fact whether the company was doing well or not. This philosophy, allegedly dating back to Alila, was deep-rooted. Positive in the situation was also that the low-end phones were still yielding profits at a steady pace in the developing countries. The Nokia brand was strong in India. Nokia was still challenging the local cut-rate phone companies in China. The low-end low-cost phones seemed to be the lifesaver when the times were hard, the steady cash flow from their sales was to keep the profitability at a tolerable level. Many were of the opinion that Nokia Euro Trademark S Ruoholahti campus in Helsinki was the place to watch for. The MeeGo unit developing smartphones based on open source software had 2,000 top software engineers developing something that could be the next big thing in software engineering. Great expectations were laid upon the first MeeGo phone and before the end of his leadership, Kallisvuo had removed many obstacles from MeeGo Euro Trademark S path. In production and logistics Nokia was world class. Nokia Euro Trademark S industrial engineering techniques had been synchronized in the beginning of the 21st century to the extent that Nokia could easily move production batches from one continent to another wherever production capacity was readily available. This operating method was based on the innovative DFM, design for manufacturing, process developed by Nokia. Engineers had designed the details of the manufacturing process with extreme care to avoid any unnecessary activities, / functions. This was of vital importance, especially during the peak years, when Nokia sold half a billion mobile phones requiring 120 billion components. In addition to the optimization of the logistics, Nokia Euro Trademark S mobile phone assembly was also tuned to perfection. Ideally, only 3 Euro 4 base units aka engines were used for all phone models in the manufacturing pipeline. During high demand, base units were always in stock, so the production could be started on the double. Some 150 types of covers, keyboards, and other small components, and 300 types of sales packages were in use at a time. The components needed for the final stages of the phone production process were ordered with 24-hour lead time at its best. Suppliers were often located in the immediate vicinity of Nokia phone factories. There were no inventories as production runs were done to order. Seamless cooperation with the companies supplying production equipment and machinery further increased the efficiency. In more critical areas of production line, e.g., as regards the component mounting equipment, there was strategic cooperation with 2A Euro 3 suppliers at a time. Cooperation with fewer suppliers would have made Nokia more vulnerable and with more suppliers, less efficient. Citius, Altius, Fortius A Euro faster, higher, stronger. This motto well described the everyday life at Nokia at the time. The efficiency of the engineering processes of the company was simply mind-blowing. Nokia also had World A Euro Trademark S best know-how in the fields of radio technology, modem technology, and hardware design. ILOP would soon come to realize that Nokia Euro Trademark S sales organization was lacking. The sales technique adopted from Asia was applied globally. In a mass market area like India, large sales staff was required as there were tens of thousands of points of sale. In India alone, Nokia had 5,000 salespersons at its peak, whose job was to present the new phone models to independent retail dealers. These retailers did not have inventories, so Nokia sales staff was continuously restocking the points of sale. In Europe, the wholesale market for mobile phones operated differently. Purchasing was done in a more centralized fashion. It was good enough if the manufacturer had good relations with the purchasing directors of the largest network providers and consumer electronic retail chains. The sales staff in retail stores did not have influence on the retail selection. Nevertheless, Nokia still had a huge number of salespersons also in Europe. A member of sales staff visited 15 points of sale a day on average, mainly to do some chit-chatting and to dust some retail phones. Bizarre performance evaluation metrics were applied to such sales staff. Visiting 15 points of sales a day constituted a job well done. A sales director earned the bonus by introducing the Asian sales model to the set number of countries, even if the model was not viable in Europe. A former Nokia sales director now working for a competitor says that it was precisely this close relationship with network providers that got the Nokia sales system into a rut. 4. 15 years Nokia sales more than doubled. The same happened with key customers, i.e. with the network providers. Both parties only focused on the positive outcome, ignoring the weak signals of brewing troubles. The network providers did not know how to tell Nokia that their phone models were no longer appealing to customers. In 2010 to 2012, many members of Nokia sales staff still believed that everything was just fine, and that the next phone model launch would come and save the day. This sales director remembers proposing a sales technique change for 2 consecutive years. In his view, a more quality-based sales model would have been more viable in Europe. Instead of the army of phone-dusting sales staff, a smaller number of committed sales reps would have been used to visit retail dealers to organize well-planned and targeted sales campaigns and activities. Sales, just like many other functions, were plagued by too much complexity. Salespersons with direct customer contact were good at their job and knew their customers well, but they were given too many additional tasks that took time and energy from the actual sales work. Their immediate managers understood and supported them, but the decision makers were located far away, sometimes even on another continent. Even if there had been wisdom and goodwill in the workforce, the organizational system had made everything insurmountably difficult. The situation was aggravated by the plummeting market. The sales director mentioned that things are done differently by his/her current employer. When the head office gives marching orders, everybody follows suit. If the key product or product line sales are not up to par, feedback is given promptly. Additional funding for marketing is also allocated fast if needed. In a similar situation at Nokia, there was a lot of talk, but hardly any action. Only Euro Trademark's money was not put where only Euro Trademark's mouth was. Nokia controllers considered sales merely as a necessary evil and salespeople as an unruly flock that needed constant watching. From the point of view of salespeople, there seemed to be no common sense in doing things, and progress has become extremely sluggish. The finance department just wanted to wait out the problems. A Euroe before ELOP. There was nobody in the company who would have had the guts to say that enough is enough a euro, says the director. Nokia had led the way in certain sales strategies, such as in online marketing. Nokia.com. had grown exponentially during 2007-2009 when measured by the number of visitors. Online sales had doubled in 6 consecutive quarters. Right things had been done at the right time. This is substantiated by the fact that at the same time Apple reached the landmark of 1 billion online customers in its online store. E-commerce was a rapidly growing market. However, Nokia Euro Trademark's online sales had dried up as a result of the profitability issues that started in 2008. There were no resources to further develop the online sales and online marketing, even if the customer base had just started to move from brick and mortar stores to using online shopping and services. Jurian Jestra M., a longtime Silicon Valley resident, is one of the few Finns who have been involved both in the development of the Nokia operating system and the Google operating system. In 2007, Google bought the social networking and microblogging service Jaiku owned by Jurian Jestra M. and Petteri Koponen. According to Jestra M., Nokia and Google were as different as chalk and cheese. Nokia was then developing MIMO software by an outdated organization consisting of hundreds of people coordinated by low-level managers between various office sites. Google was developing Android by a small compact unit led by the charismatic Andy Rubin, who had joined Google following a company acquisition, just as Jestra M. did. In 2007, there was a narrow window of opportunity for Nokia to enter into collaboration with Google and, according to Jestra M., Nokia should have seized the opportunity then. Jestra M. says that Nokia Euro Trademark's belief in the superiority of its own software development manifested in arrogance and diminished Google Euro Trademark's interest in partnering with Nokia, regardless the fact that Google valued Nokia as a similar trendsetter in hardware design then as Apple is considered now. The decision by the then chief technology officer, Turo Ojanpura, to set up Nokia Euro Trademark's US headquarters in the White Plains suburb of New York was of big symbolic significance and raised eyebrows in American software development circles. The question was, why did Nokia ignore Silicon Valley? A manager in the Nokia smartphone product development recalls that when Android was just emerging in 2007-2008, Nokia had been sneering at such a small-scale American project. Android was not taken seriously as its developing teams in Silicon Valley were small. It was believed that there was no way such small teams could compete with Nokia Euro Trademark's large developer base of thousands. ILOP had now the task of prioritizing the actions to be taken in the wake of the LAMA legacy of Kallis Voo. Cutting the expenses with a heavy hand was to take place. A sensible operating system was to be chosen for the smartphones. U.S. operations needed a makeover. 5. The Wonder Boy from Ancaster. The small, picturesque town of Ancaster is one of the first European settlements in Ontario, Canada. The area is known for its historical downtown and good hiking paths. There are around 30,000 residents. The weather is like in Helsinki. Because the Great Lakes keep the winter relatively warm, the average temperature in January is -58°C, 23°F. In July, the average temperature is 22°C, 72°F. Over the years, Ancaster has grown to become part of the 9th largest city in Canada, Hamilton. The nearest metropolitan city is Toronto, 70 kilometers, 44 miles, away to the northeast. Equally far away to the west is Waterloo, where the mobile phone manufacturer RIM, later BlackBerry, started its activities in 1984. If you head southeast, after 100 kilometers, 62 miles, you end up in Buffalo in the United States, and you pass Niagara Falls along the way. Stephen Andrew Ilop was born in this environment on December 31, 1963. His father design transformers at the electrical company Westinghouse. His mother was a chemist. As the middle child of three boys in his family, Stephen had a normal, middle-class childhood. His first job was as a caddy at Hamilton Golf and Country Club, and, according to legend, he learned how not to laugh at people who are trying their best. At the same time, he developed a hatred toward tobacco. Nothing was more disgusting than when someone asked him to hold a cigarette stained with lipstick when they went to swing at the ball, Ilop has stated. His free time was dominated by his interest in technology. Even his grandfather had worked as a radio operator in World War II. He chose the Hamilton Faculty of Engineering at McMaster University in Hamilton as his place of study. The university, which received its name from the founder, William McMaster, is one of Canada Euro Trademark's upper middle-tier universities. In the worldwide QS University ranking, in 2013 it was ranked at 140, the fifth best in Canada. The University of Helsinki was 69th in the same ranking. And Aalto University at 196th. The year was 1981, when the eager budding engineer started his studies. Besides studying, he wrestled with 30-hour work weeks. Professor of Computer Engineering, David Capson, remembers Ilop as the character who walked into his office and passed him carrying a ladder. Ilop climbed up the ladder and peeked up in between the ceiling tiles. In his dirty hands was a spool of cable. He was building a new and exciting thing, an Ethernet network that covered the whole campus. 22 kilometers of cable was used, according to press reports. Capson had had hundreds of students, but he says that Ilop had left an impression on him. Ilop was exceptional and well-focused, one of the two best students. That year, Capson remembered, Ilop met his wife while doing computer work at the university. The two of them had different opinions on how computers work. The disagreement led to a bet. A Euroite was just flirting, if I am right, I will take you to dinner. Nancy won, so we went to a rib restaurant. Not very romantic, but a good start. It led to marry Gia Euro, Ilop told the Forbes magazine in 2005. Ilop graduated in 1986 as the second best in his course. He has less education compared with many other top leaders. 5 years of hard work brought him a Bachelor of Euro Trademark's degree in computer engineering and management. It was now time to transition into work life. After that, things started to happen. Ilop developed into a successful, sales-oriented leader who understood customers. When Ilop stepped into the business world, information technology was revolutionizing the workplace. Apple and Microsoft were hot topics. Secretaries exchanged their typewriters for desktop PCs and companies started appointing IT managers. Ilop joined a small software company called Soma. Their first success came quickly, when Lotus, who were known for their 1-2-3 spreadsheet program, bought Soma for a good price in the early 1990s. Euro Trademark S. Ilop continued working in the consulting unit of Lotus, until 1994 when he moved to the fast food chain, Boston Chicken, as the chief information officer. His first steps as a leader in a publicly listed company were colorful. The American company, Boston Chicken, was a fashionable company in the U.S. during the mid-1990s. A year before Ilop arrived, shares were sold out immediately after a share issue, and the share price had tripled. Things had already overheated too much, and finally debt and the new chicken counters which had appeared in grocery stores forced Boston Chicken to apply for protection from creditors under the U.S. bankruptcy laws. Before the bankruptcy, there were 18,500 employees and 1,100 restaurants. The euphoria had taken the company to the wrong side of the law. The lower-level managers jumped from the sinking ship. One of them who had made the right conclusion was Alop. A euro we didn't a euro trademark T like what was happening in the company. There were good and bad times, but the food was good, at least a euro, Alop had recalled about the experience. At that time, Nokia had unveiled its first communicator, and was bringing the second version to market. Boston Chicken is known nowadays by the name Boston Market, and was, from the time of the bankruptcy till 2007, under the ownership of McDonald's. The chain had profiled itself with the Boston Marathon. There one can eat three whole chickens, two potato pies, eight pieces of cornbread, six side dishes and two desserts in under an hour without help. The train continued onward. It was the year 1998. The persistent, smart, and fast-moving engineer went to work in California and moved upward in the San Francisco software company, Macromedia, via the IT and sales departments to become CEO. Macromedia had given the world the web page design program Dreamweaver, as well as Flash, a multimedia technology which brought graphics and animations to web pages. There, Alop really started collecting the experience, which he used to charm during the Nokia times. The internet bubble had just burst. The bottom dropped out of the markets, and new competitors were threatening to take away their livelihood. Newspapers rattled on about how Macromedia was headed for disaster. Alop took focusing as his dictate. He reviewed the Compania Euro trademark's strengths, weaknesses, even topics that seemed irrelevant, and decided to throw all of Macromedia Euro trademark's chips into Flash. The change was huge, but afterward, Macromedia made a bigger profit than at any point before the bubble burst. During that time, Nokia was wrestling with cameras and Symbian. Both were announced in 2002. The first 3G phone was announced the same year, and the clamshell model in 2004. At Macromedia, Alop was instilled with a belief in big changes and a stubborn focus on a chosen strategy. The seed had been planted. Change was possible even in difficult conditions, when the correct products are chosen, and when one can see which direction the world is heading, was his reasoning. The association is easy to make, Windows Phone became his new Flash. In 2005, there was a merger ahead. Macromedia bought another American software company, Adobe, which we know from, among other things, the PDF document editing program Acrobat, and the professional photo editing software, Photoshop. The merger was difficult. Seeing through the deal would take 7 months because of antitrust officials. Employees were confused, what would happen to them? What about the products? Alop built from this a second leadership philosophy, everyone supports everyone else, no one is more important than anyone else. Arms linked, everyone together. What happened? Macromedia had the best financial results during that 7 months than it previously had during its entire history. After pushing through to the end with the merger, Alop continued with Adobe with the title WWFO, Worldwide Field Officer. He was responsible for sales, country-specific marketing, partnering, and customer service. His last work day at Adobe fell exactly 1 year from the time he had started at the company. He received his yearly salary, $500,000, with bonuses of $315,000, and a severance pay of $1,880,000. His stock options were, at his moment of departure, worth $22,500,000. If his term had lasted less than a year, he would have not gotten the extras. During the same time period, Nokia announced its final successful flagship model, the N95, and Olli-Pekka Kallasvuo was the CEO. At his next employer, Juniper, Ilopa Euro Trademark's salary arrangement looked quite similar. His work ended on the same day that nearly $800,000 worth of options became free to cash in. Ilop was clearly swimming in money. Next stop would be Microsoft. But first to Juniper. They manufacture network equipment, meaning hardware. Aside from software, Ilop gained experience with hardware in this way. His title was KOO, Chief Operations Officer. Even if Ilop was not the CEO, on the headhunter lists he was already one of the absolute elite at this stage, and could definitely get a job in the senior management of any major IT company. The jump over to hardware manufacturing added to his value, even if there were no great achievements made during his year at Juniper. During this period, Nokia was at the top of its game. Its market share had surpassed 40% for the first time. Ilop won the jackpot on the eve of Thanksgiving in 2007. The CEO of the software giant Microsoft, Steve Ballmer, called him and wanted to meet. They met. They talked about information technology, the change brought in by mobile phones, cloud services and Google. Ilop sensed that Ballmer was interested in him, if there was a suitable position open. There might just be one opening up, so they met again after a few months. There were also other Microsoft leaders along, including Bill Gates. It didn't Euro trademark T take long after this, when Ilop met Ballmer at the Kitchener-Waterloo Airport near Hamilton. The men drove to Ilopa Euro trademark's house. The family still lived in Hamilton. They all sat around the fireplace in the room downstairs. They talked the whole afternoon into evening. Nancy Ilop was especially pleased with the visit. She was able to ask Ballmer what kinds of schools they have there in Redmond, Washington. A few days later, Ballmer called and asked Ilop to come to work. Ilop was stuck in a difficult quandary. He was supposed to start as the CEO of Juniper. There was already a briefing prepared about the nomination. Ilop described the decision as the most difficult one he had made in his life up till that point. Ballmer won. Ilop took over the leadership Microsoft Euro Trademark's business division at the beginning of 2008. Even if Ilop was totally unknown in Finland when he was appointed at Nokia, in North America he had become a star. He led the largest division of the world, a Euro Trademark's largest software company. Contrary to popular belief, the Windows operating system is not Microsoft Euro Trademark's largest source of income. It is the Office software, which belonged to the business division. Windows brought in 27% of the sales, the business division 31%. The profit in the business division was almost half, in other words about 7 billion euros. $10.2 billion, a year. Turnover was 19 billion euros, $27.7 billion. It was estimated that there were half a billion users at the time. However, Microsoft faced a challenge with the Office suite of software that includes Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and a few other programs. Google had started to offer the same services over the internet for free, so users could make texts, spreadsheets, and slide presentations without paying for software. The work happened over a network connection to software on Google Euro Trademark's servers. The documents were also saved there. Ilop started to work on a solution for this problem. He had a move to Redmond ahead of him, this time a real move. The Silicon Valley Ilop had commuted from Hamilton by plane. Adobe had paid $145,000 during 2006 for Ilopa Euro Trademark's travels between home and work. Juniper had reserved $200,000 a year for his travels. Between home and work, the family had grown to 7 over the years. Having children was an adventure, and required a lot of persistence. Ilop told the Kopalady Optio financial magazine, in an interview in the fall of 2010, how the family was able to have a second child after a long struggle in the 1990s. It required calls to the U.S. Senate, the Canadian Parliament, and the Chinese government. The countries were in agreement on one thing: it would not work, don't a Euro trademark T even try. They, Ilops pushed, persuaded, and negotiated. They did some hard work, until 8 months later, the heavens opened up. The papers were in their hands and the Ilops had gotten what they wanted, an adopted daughter. The wish came true a few weeks later, when the Chinese officials let them and their 9-month-old bundle out of the country. The difficulties continued, however, the child needed a citizenship. Canada had a policy of not giving citizenship if the child lived outside the country. Ilop lived in the United States. Because of Boston Chicken, and their adopted daughter was Chinese. The combination was too much for the bureaucrats. Finally, the Canadian Prime Minister decided otherwise. The issue was put to rest during his visit in San Francisco with the Canadian Governor General A. Euro, in other words an official representative of Queen Elizabeth, ceremoniously granted citizenship to Courtney Ilop. Courtney, who at the time of writing this in 2014 was 18, and her big brother, 22, got triplet sisters for company, who are now 14. The father has said about the triplets a Euro trademark birth that the couple has maximized its capital invested into fertility treatment. Ilop told how, in the middle of the 2000 a Euro trademark s, he occupied his weekends with his children a Euro trademark s hobbies and playing ball. He recounted how he encouraged the children a Euro trademark s individuality. Each of the triplets got to have her own birthday party. Once they had a birthday party on the morning of the closest Saturday, another in the evening, and the third was on Sunday morning. Everyone invited their own friends, even if all the friends were the same. Despite all the commuting, Ilop had bought a fabulous house in Silicon Valley. Its subsequent sale became a scandal when he started at Microsoft. In Microsoft a Euro trademark S 2009 financial statement, reporters found a footnote, a Euro emer. Ilop received help with moving expenses, travels, shipping his belongings, in getting a temporary apartment, and in what he had to pay himself a Euro. The statements showed an expense of $4.1 million. House prices in California had plummeted, but Ilop was allowed to recover his losses. The sum should be compared with Balmira Euro trademark S salary from the same period. He received $1.3 million. Microsoft shareholders were furious, and the company finally had to change its policies in supporting its leaders. The Ilops bought a house in Redmond in 2008, which had 8 bedrooms and 1,100 square meters, 11,480 square feet, of living space for just under $4 million. The house had, among other things, a tennis court and a wine cellar. During that period, Nokia built its first touchscreen phone aimed at the mass market, the Nokia 5800 Express Music, which went into sales at the end of 2008. Google Docs. The challenge was formidable. It was believed that Microsoft was doomed. How could a dinosaur from the past compete with an agile player in internet technologies? Only a few years passed by, and the arrangement had been turned on its head. Ilop had built up free versions of Office, which were funded by advertisements. They had more limited functionality and could be used over the internet, but together with the commercial version, the experience was better than with Google Docs. This direct response to Google had demanded massive changes in Microsoft. Ilopa Euro trademark S Halo grew. Ilopa Euro trademark S. Accomplishment, Office 2010, pushed ahead like a train and even surpassed expectations. He overtook Google without dropping the commercial version, and as a result made Microsoft a leader in cloud services. A Euro e Google can be beaten, Google can be beaten a Euro, Ilop repeated like a mantra during press interviews during that period. Eat a Euro trademark S. Not a wonder that Nokia a Euro trademark S headhunters contacted him. What kind of man did Nokia choose then? Everyone knew that a huge visionary like Steve Jobs would not come. Ilop was a doer and change manager. He got the trains to run on time, but didn't a Euro trademark T necessarily inspire anyone, worthy appraisals? The office guy, pencil pusher, representer of his product. A general, and even his hair was short. A guy, who, among nerds, starched his shirts. But full of energy and eager to work, using the well-known term 24/7. And loud. A Euro Stefan is certainly not shy. He definitely says what he needs to say a Euro, according to one assessment. A Euroite never felt like he was afraid to ask dumb questions a Euro, said one colleague from Microsoft. Ilop described himself during those times as passionate, vigorous, rational, decisive, and detail-oriented. He recounts that technology is a part of himself, and he admitted that he feels at home in rooms full of engineers talking about programming strategies. At the same time, he tells how he has passionately given himself to conversations about the feelings of consumers. What about charisma? Did he have it? One of the authors of this book met Ilop for the first time 1 month before his appointment at Nokia. Microsoft had invited journalists to Amsterdam to show off their ways of working in their Holland office. The event was centered around a small seminar, where the main speaker had to be replaced at the last moment with a person from the US. Before it began, the speakers congregated in the front of the auditorium. Only Euro trademark SIs naturally found themselves drawn toward a certain individual who had a charismatic aura to him, someone who was clearly a leader of some sorts. He was the Microsoft Holland director, Theo Rinsema. Ilop was next to Rinsema. He fit into the category of a Euro or a other sa Euro, even if he seemed to be conversing a lot. When Ilop got on stage, he spoke in a technical manner about cloud services. He spoke fluently, but not in a way that would blow your mind. When he offered an interview with the reporter after his speech, the answer was a Euro e no Euro. It was, of course, partially due to the fact that the purpose of the seminar was to get familiar with the office solutions, and Ilop had come to the program by surprise. The main reason, though, was that his speech gave very little that could be used as material for a press article. Fortunately, a picture was taken. It would be of use in a few months a Euro trademark S time. For a hobby, Ilop had mentioned flying in the online publication of the Wharton School. In Pennsylvania, it was noted that there were two types of pilots, one type wanted experience gliding in the air, the feeling of freedom when flying through clouds. For the other, the attraction was in the technology. They loved navigation, meters, and the software behind them. Ilop said that he was in the latter group. The question was unavoidable: would Ilop be, after all, the correct choice for Nokia? Troubled by its engineering-centric culture? Wouldn't a Euro trademark T a more visionary and charismatic figurehead be needed? The virtual world is a long way away from leading people and managing the media game. The considerations were unnecessary. Ilop was Nokia Euro trademark S chosen one. It was time for him to get to work. Six platforms and ecosystems. In Finland, We Euro Trademark VE heard over and over how the very heart of Nokia smartphones, the Symbian operating system, OS, was mediocre, old-fashioned, and slow. Its intended successor, MeeGo, was being delayed and delayed. Why couldn't a Euro Trademark T they get Symbian to work? What was the hold-up with MeeGo? The answers lie partly in technology a Euro. This chapter takes a brief look into that. First, the basics. A smartphone is a small computer. In order for it to work, it needs a piece of software called the operating system, just like a computer does. The OS in Apple iPhone is iOS. In Samsung Euro Trademark S most popular models it is Android. On Nokia Euro Trademark S smartphones, it was Symbian when Elop joined Nokia. The user interface, UI, is what the users see on their screens, and how they interact with their phone. Menus, icons, and keys are all part of the UI. Lead a Euro Trademark S take a brief look into history. Symbian was developed by telecommunication companies Ericsson, Panasonic, Motorola, Nokia, and Psion in 1998. In those days, Microsoft Windows had a near-monopoly dominance in personal computer, PC, operating systems. PC industry players like Dell, Compaq, and others saw their profits being squeezed because, in practice, every computer in the market had to run Windows OS, and Microsoft was naming its price. This is why Nokia and its partners wanted to keep the mobile operating systems in their own hands. As a result, Microsoft and Nokia became nearly arch enemies. Negotiations between Nokia Euro Trademark S Jorma Alila and Microsoft Euro Trademark S Bill Gates are known to have ended in harsh disputes. The strategy paid off, Symbian was a success, and Microsoft Euro Trademark S mobile operating system, Windows Mobile, became marginal. At the same time, a root cause for Nokia Euro Trademark S problems started to emerge. Those device manufacturers who had selected Symbian OS for their smartphones were able to build their own UIs. The idea was to use a common baseline, but to allow each phone brand to launch their own look and feel. Software technologies in those days were still immature. For example, Ericsson needed to adjust Symbian deep inside its core systems so they could get the Ericsson smartphones to look different from Nokia smartphones. The resulting derivatives were called UI platforms. Nokia built two of them, S90 for communicators and S60 for smartphones 8. This way it was easy to launch devices in the business phone category, or multimedia phone category. The trick worked and Symbian became a market leader. From there, application developers became part of the equation. App developers code additional applications which are sold, for example, in Apple Euro Trademark S App Store and Google Play. In other words, apps are those Instagrams, WhatsApps, and Angry Birds. Creating applications for Symbian was challenging, as the app developer needed to operate deep under the surface in order to get their apps to work. Learning the development tools took forever, and each Nokia model needed their own versions of the app. Apple had a different idea. It created just one phone model in which the UI and OS were combined. This made things easy for the app developer. In addition, an exclusive marketplace, Apple Euro Trademark S App Store, where it was easy for people to buy their Angry Birds and other apps, was a revolutionary idea. Google joined the action in 2005 by purchasing a company called Android. As the legend goes, its founder Andy Rubin had started to develop its software for the very reason that Symbian was so complex and its development environment poor. Everyone expected Google to announce their own smartphone, and the press was speculating and speculating. On November 5, 2007, Google launched a free operating system for smartphones but no device. This was a big surprise. Google did not want a Google smartphone, it wanted the entire mobile phone industry. The revenue would come from ads and services. Android took its most important step in early 2007. After the launch of iPhone, Google had scrapped its original, keyboard-centric user interface. The work was started from scratch and based on the touch screen. For additional apps, Google followed a BlueEuro trademark S. Example, apps had to run in each Android phone without any modifications. The thinking was different at NokiaEuro trademark S Kalanimi headquarters. Nokia was trusting its old warhorse with their touchscreen development. SymbianEuro trademark S old menu structures, which were accused of being complex and for a good reason, lie deep inside the core system and Nokia was stuck with them. NokiaEuro trademark S touchscreen felt superimposed and the app developers EuroTrademark pain continued. In the end, Nokia acquired Symbian to itself, but that was too little too late. Over the years, so many layers and additions had been integrated to the system that it had become an unmanageable lump. If a coder changed something in the right arm, she did not know what would happen to the left toe. Phones got jammed, died suddenly, and rebooted themselves without a warning. Samsung introduced their first mobile phone in 1989. The beginning was slow since in those days Motorola was dominating the Korean market as they pleased. In the mid 1990s, trademark S Samsung had considered giving up the entire mobile industry because of the low quality of their products. Their primary products were semiconductors, motherboards, memory circuits and integrated circuits. After the first Android smartphone arrived on the market in 2008 by Taiwanese HTC, however, Samsung was back in. It launched the first Samsung Android smartphone in April 2009, NokiaEuro trademark S 18 months before Elop arrived at Nokia. And so the Android ecosystem quickly became dominated by Samsung. When Elop joined Nokia, NokiaEuro trademark S market share had risen to 25%. NokiaEuro trademark S alternative to Symbian was born behind the scenes and partly in secrecy. It started in early 2000 when a small group of Nokians started to figure out whether Linux, an open-source software created by a Finn, Linus Torvalds, could work in smartphones. Even though using open-source software added legal barriers, the project was finalized. And the first device bearing its fruit, an internet-enabled touchscreen tablet, was launched in 2005. The tablet lacked phone capabilities though, and based on our interviews, the Symbian directors blocked it. The operating system was named Momo. As soon as it was permitted to be fitted on a phone, that first Momo smartphone was a reasonable success. It attracted a community of open-source developers who created Momo apps. With 12,000 members, this was the largest mobile developer community in the world. Then Nokia did something remarkable. It partnered with chip manufacturer Intel, and the two companies renamed Momo to Migo 9. In order for us to understand why this union was disastrous, NokiaEuro trademark S take a brief look into technology. One of the hardest parts of creating mobile phones is embedding the software operating system onto hardware electronics. Nokia built their smartphones using processors from the American chip manufacturer Texas Instruments. In addition, Nokia now needed to align Migo with NokiaEuro trademark S processors. The work was cumbersome, and especially power consumption proved difficult. NokiaEuro trademark S chipsets were designed for laptop computers, so in NokiaEuro trademark S world, power consumption was not a problem. NokiaEuro trademark S competitors, however, were using processors from Qualcomm, which were specifically designed for small devices with a low power consumption. Software developers spent months streamlining Nokia Euro trademark S Momo and Intel Euro trademark S corresponding software, Moblin. This enormous amount of work did not carry over to an end product, and ultimately did not benefit the customer experience. Instead of one giant corporation, the work was now carried out by two, and the process was stalled even more. MeeGo was delayed and delayed. This proved costly. The original Texas Instruments chipset was becoming obsolete and the replacement from Intel did not work either. At the same time, competition was moving on to Qualcomm Euro trademark S second generation processors. Nokia was running propeller airplanes while others had moved on to jets. We Euro trademark LL revisit the cooperation between Nokia and Intel in Chapter 14. Apple and Android brought a magic term into the mobile phone industry, ecosystem. An ecosystem is a set of e-device manufacturers, app developers, service providers, and network providers where all benefit one another. The more apps one platform has, the more eagerly consumers will buy those smartphones. The more smartphones that are sold, the more services are used, etc. This creates a positive domino effect. On a strategy level, Nokia had understood the importance of ecosystems and mobile internet, and in 2008 decided to turn itself into an internet company. The services and software unit was led by Niklas Sävander. The beginning was slow, services were previously developers in units independently, and partly overlapping. Billing mechanisms, technical platforms and frameworks, business models, Euro each unit had their own way of addressing these issues. Music was created in Great Britain, maps in Germany and email in Ulu. That brought decisions to the director level and turned them into politics. In August 2007, Olli-Pekka Kallasvuo had announced Nokia would collect all of its services under the brand name Ovi, which in principle sounded good. The launch, however, was tragic. At the time of the launch, OVI.com did not link to any services. All it was a static page with a collection of icons. With time, the services began to harmonize somewhat, but around 2009 Euro 2010 OVI.com did not even work with one set of username and password. Colors, fonts, and the general look and feel were a mess. The smartphones and their services had no graphical or functional similarities. Most issues would have been technically an easy fix, but Nokia Euro trademark S complex organization made it too hard. The ecosystem was scattered. As if that was not enough, there was a leadership catastrophe. In 2009, the company decided to split the responsibility of services between Sävander and Turo Ojanpura. The model was dubbed 2-in-a-box. Responsibilities were not clear, and the very introduction of this management model indicates just that. In early 2010, Nokia faced the music and announced its navigation service would become free. This was an important milestone. Services themselves would not become a major source of revenue, but a means to sell devices and engage users. The situation was dire. App developers thought Nokia was a difficult partner who did not understand how important an app store is for consumers. Nokia Euro trademark S own services did not fly, and its software platforms were becoming obsolete. Around that time, Nokia Euro trademark S own store, OVI.com, had 16,000 apps, and the Apple App Store 300,000. The means to maintain a functional ecosystem were poor. But, newly finished Symbian 3 was a promise of something better. And MeeGo started to be ready for commercial use. 7. The euphoria of the initial weeks. Stephen Elop was abroad on his first workday at Nokia. Maybe it was a sign of things to come. It was Tuesday, September 21, 2010. He participated in meetings that had been booked for Ali Pekka Kallisvuo. After he came to Finland, he immediately started to get to know the personnel. His first appearances were met with approval and people were charmed. Interviewees tell that they felt euphoric. Ilop gave such a convincing first impact that people finally felt that there would be some decisive actions. From the first moments, he seemed to beam energy. Jorma Alila Euro Trademark S thought that a Euroea Canadian would be a better match with Nokia than an Americana. Euro seemed to work. The company had a CEO that felt like he belonged, but who would obviously also get things done. He was like a half-brother, whom the Finns soon started to call by a more Finnish name, Seppo Elo. The good news started to leak outside Nokia. According to these leaked insights, Ilop talked openly in front of the thousands of Nokia employees about both the good and the bad things, which was unheard of. One